All right, welcome back to Shakedown Shan. Hope you all had a great week. It's very springy here, 50 something and rain, but it's a lot better than snow. So hopefully this snow goes away. I still got a lot.
Do you?
Yeah, still got a lot.
Well, you're way, I mean, you got a lot more than.
Yeah, and so it might stick around for a while.
Although, you know, a little warm weather and rain gets rid of a lot at one time.
Oh, so, yeah, definitely.
You know.
Yesterday, I drove by the river in the morning, and there was still a big sheet of ice on the sandbar area. And then when I came through around, like, 7 to go get ice cream, I didn't eat ice cream, but Noah ate ice cream. But it was, like, all gone. It was like chunks, little chunks of ice.
Yeah,
it's crazy how fast. It's also crazy, like, as it was starting to get warmer, the people that you still see out on the ice, it's like it's 34 degrees out.
I know. Get off. It's like, crazy.
You are living life more dangerously than I would want to.
Oh, I tell you, when I used to ice fish, I used to get off of it in February. I didn't trust the You never know. I mean,
I would never go on the river to ice fish. I would go on a lake because, right. I mean, if you fall through, that water's not moving that fast.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it'd be easier to get out. But like the Hudson River.
That moves quick.
Is very quick. And I just don't trust it. And also the ice is more thin on the river because it's always moving.
Yeah.
Whereas on the lake, it freezes faster. And
slower. Well, you know, you can always tell because even in the middle of winter when it's really cold, if the sun is out, the ice starts getting thin in areas on the river.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wouldn't trust that for anything.
No. But yeah, we didn't have a very exciting week as a lot of people were hoping. with this whole Mueller thing, a lot of people were hoping for this bombshell testimony or findings report, whatever. And it was nothing, absolutely nothing for 2 years.
If it was anything, it just kind of showed how the press and the Democrats really were making things up so that it would keep going. I mean, I think they would have liked it to go until 2020.
Right.
You know, but I, you know, Trump gave a rally in, I don't know if it was Mississippi or Minnesota, and there were like tens of thousands of people there, and his national approval rating is 50%, which is higher than pretty much anybody has been in the middle of their term, you know?
Mm-hmm. I knew they weren't going to find anything just because it had gone on for so long, and mm-hmm. every time they said they had some, like, breaking news about it, there was nothing. And we did that one episode where we went over if collusion is even really a crime. It's not.
No.
I mean, it's they can't get him for collusion. You can get someone for treason, but he wasn't committing treason if he was doing what they said he was doing. But, I mean, every politician colludes with people.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, rigging an election, that would be illegal. But that's not what they were trying to get him on, really. They're trying to get him on something completely not even illegal. And there wasn't anything there. And Trump just wants everyone to, like, know what's in it because he's not afraid of it. And,
right.
I mean, it just, it's crazy that this went on for 2 years and
$17 million.
Right. $17 million. So much time wasted.
Lives and of people that General Flynn cost him $2 million. He lost his house. He lost his retirement pension. And they couldn't prove anything. They wanted him to lie about have Trump talking to Russians, and he said there's nothing there, I can't lie. And they said, well, if you don't say something, we'll go after your son, which his son had nothing to do with anything.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how they were threatening people, Mueller's team, to get information on Trump. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's sad. you know, what's going on in our country.
Yeah, if anything, they should be investigating Obama and Hillary Clinton and all the and Bush for war crimes.
For war crimes, and even Hillary for selling our uranium to Russia for their nuclear programs. I mean, they out and out sold our uranium, and she got paid, and it went through the Clinton Foundation, but she got immunity back when they, and they didn't even interview her when they started all of this. And you talk about equal justice under the law, and we really don't have that in this country. I think what we're finding out more as we're getting older is that this country really isn't a real democracy.
No, it's oligarchy.
Yeah, and we really don't have many rights. They make us think we do.
Well, we have more than most of the world.
Oh, definitely.
Like, relatively. Right.
But they make us think we have a lot more than we do. And the government's taking over more and more, as you point out weekly. And I know you're going to point some things out today, but it's like every day they're trying to do something more to take, not power, but incentives for people to do themselves.
Right. And I know last week we did the episode on the New Zealand shooting, which we don't have because it got washed.
Because it got washed. And I don't mean I acid washed it. It went through the washing machine, so.
Yes, we had a really good guest, Tyler Woodbridge. He's the chairman of the Libertarian Party of Rutherford County. He will be back on in April. I think April 13th is our goal. And we talked about the New Zealand shooting and how immediately they put legislation through of gun control. And I can't remember numbers or anything like that, but I went over an article from the New York Times that just had so much false facts in it. But it's just crazy that we're so many people over here are looking at that instance and saying that we need to act like that when things happen. It's crazy that we're just so ready to like give up freedoms like that so quickly. Right. They're hard to get back too. You have to be really careful.
Yeah, once they take them away, you can't get them back. And as we talked about last week, which we'll talk about again when Tyler's on, is that the murder rate by guns in the country have gone down. I think like New York, I think it's down to 4%, which from a high of like 11%, and in the last 30 years it's gone down, and right now it's 4%. I mean, why do we need, we need gun laws, I think, which we have. And as he pointed out last week, the NRA is ones that push for sane gun laws. I mean, you know, not, but it's like, what more do they need to show that what we have now is working? I mean, and in England, we talked about, they did away with guns.
And right? Yeah, so then you've got that people go to other weapons and it just creates more crime.
Yeah,
because that opens up a black market and there's crime and violence involved with the black market. And it's just insane that our homicide rate by guns is less than 1%. Like, of the deaths by guns, the homicide is less than 1%. And the New York Times was saying that since 1970, more people have been killed in mass shootings by guns than all the, more Americans have been killed by guns than all of the Americans killed in all the wars in history. And my red flag went off right when I read that, and I'm like, that's not right. So yeah. I did math for 10 minutes and research and came up with numbers that didn't even equal what they were trying to say. But you guys can look that up. Go do your homework, because I did mine, and it was surprising. I don't have the paper in front of me right now, so I can't.
But you were right, because we looked it up here. We fact-checked it on while you were talking about it, and you're 100% right.
So it was just, it was very comical. I think that was the funniest article I've ever read from the New York Times. Yeah, it's just, it's crazy they got legislation passed so quickly, and everybody over here is, like, praising that, and it's scary.
Yeah.
Scary. So there's this idea going on or going around lately, and I'm probably going to make a lot of people mad, but I am here to start fires today. Addiction is not a disease. Addiction is not a disease. I said it. That is my belief. It is true to me, and I'm going to tell you why. So, I have a few people in my life that I'm close to, some friends that are going through hard times, and one of them was talking about how addiction is a disease. She's going sober, and so she's not drinking anymore. And I know she doesn't listen to this show, so I won't make her mad. But
yeah, but we're not mentioning names.
Right. So she's going through some hard times, and she's talking about how alcoholism is a disease, and I know some other people that are, like, going to classes for it, and the content in these, like, the material of the courses that they're taking is ridiculous. Like, basically, these rehab centers are telling these alcoholics and drug users that what they have is a disease. They're always going to have it. It's not curable. You're always going to be susceptible to it. You can't overcome this. And it's just, it sounds so wrong to me. How are you going to expect someone to overcome what they're going through if you're telling them they're a victim and that they can't?
Right.
And it just, I feel like that's not what you should be saying to somebody in rehab. You should be encouraging them that they have the power to overcome this, because honestly, addiction is a choice. Like your physical addiction of something is not a choice, but I mean, you chose to do that, and that you can tell when you start getting addicted to something, and you choose to keep doing it, and then your body becomes addicted to that substance, and a lot of times people need it, or their body, like, shuts down or whatever for, like, stronger drugs. But it's a choice. It definitely is a choice.
Well, you know, we've talked about this before, and you know, like, religion is a bit almost like politics when you talk to somebody. But, you know, God gives us the one thing that we have control over, and that's the freedom of choice. And you can either do something that's wrong or do something that's right. And they both are only... is something only you can choose. So alcoholism is a choice that you can make. I think if it's like smoking, you know, if you want to quit smoking, it might be hard.
Oh yeah, it's definitely not easy if you're addicted to a substance.
Right,
to quit.
But I gave it up cold turkey. And you know, like you have a friend, I had a family member that was an alcoholic, and I mean, he was a real severe alcoholic, and it came to the point where he was going to break a family because of it. So he stopped drinking, and it was hard. He may have an occasional beer a couple times a week, and then it got to a point where he could have maybe a beer once a week and not get back in drinking a lot.
Right.
So you can, and he never went to therapy or anything. I mean, it was family trying to stop
right.
or saying, you know, you have some big problems with the family if you don't. So, you know, even though it's addictive, you can stop it.
Definitely. It all depends on your willpower and your determination.
Right.
And yes, it is very difficult. And I'm not trying to like downplay anybody's addiction or anything like that, but it is a choice. And that I feel like that's the first step to overcoming it, is realize that you have made this choice, mm-hmm. that it's not because you come from a family of alcoholics or drug users. Right. I mean, a lot of people do have like a predisposition, but ultimately you are an individual. You are responsible for yourself. And I feel like these rehab programs are like taking away people's personal responsibility, mm-hmm. which is a huge thing with Liberty, is that we emphasize the individual and self-responsibility, that you are the decider of your actions and everything like that, and you're responsible for the consequences, good or bad. And just the way our political scene is going now, it's going into like our state control, and that's taking away people's responsibility and individualism. And it's things like this that are, I feel like, are leading us that way. Like, not justice, but things like right. this. Just putting people into the victim mentality. And yeah. they need help from something, and they're not going to get better, so why should they? And it leads to more state control. These people that are having really bad, like, we'll just use alcoholism as a example. So people who are alcoholics, like, they're being told they're a victim. Why should they, they're never going to overcome this. So why should they try to better themselves, their life, or anything like that? They may look towards the state assistance more than most people. And it keeps them in the cycle. And it's not beneficial to do that. And I feel like all these programs are just running them wrong. They're trying to keep people there.
You're right. That's what I was going to say. They're trying to keep people subservient. Mm-hmm. Trying to keep them under their control. I mean, if I told you that alcoholism was a disease, you're going to say, right away, you're going to say, well, it's like cancer. I've got a disease and I can't cure it, so why not it? Because
right.
You know what I mean? Where if you said it's like, it's a decision that you can make, and you can have friends help you overcome it, just like you do with smoking. I mean, if you said you're going to quit smoking and your friend went out with you and she brought a cigarette out and was ready to light it, you're going to say, I thought you quit smoking. How bad it is for you? And I mean, you don't have to say, oh, that's a disease you have. And I mean, it's an addiction, like you said, but you can help somebody without having to spend, you know, $50,000 going to the rehab. And then it's crazy. And one of the things that you bring up, not in this specific discussion, but, you know, the framers of the Constitution, we still follow today. And this is my take. They were religious people. And I think they brought, I mean, the values that they put into the Constitution were Judeo-Christian ideals. And I think this is something that they put in the freedom of choice. And I think that came from a Judeo-Christian value, and we're losing that now to make the choice. But I think that can go into every, now on the other side, on the religious value side, we have, like we said before, you have a choice to make. You can either stay in that situation and get lower and lower and not work your way out of it, or you can acknowledge that you have a problem and then positively start working on it.
Right. And when it comes to like the illegal drugs, keeping people in this like disease, addiction is a disease mentality, keeps them in that cycle. They're going to keep using these drugs. They're going to relapse and stuff and keep that just, since they're illegal drugs, they could get caught for crime. It's going to give the cops something to do. It's going to put people in, keep people in the jail cycle and stuff like that. It's just, it doesn't work for people the way they are being told that they're not there to help you, really. I feel like they're A, there for money, B, there to help out the state, and C, there to keep you in that victim mentality, to make you subservient to needing help. That's one thing that the state wants people to feel, is that they need them. And so rehab works the same way, at least I've noticed. And I also find it crazy that that drugs are illegal, obviously. I don't understand how the government can pick and choose what drugs are legal and not illegal. Like, I'm drinking coffee right now.
Right.
Caffeine is a drug. Some people are heavily addicted to caffeine. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to wean myself off. But yes, it doesn't impair my ability to drive. It doesn't do X, Y, or Z like hard drugs would, but it is a drug.
Right.
Caffeine is a drug, and I am addicted to it. And I'm not going to like relate that to somebody who's addicted to opioids. That's like not even comparable. But it's just crazy that like we're also trying to legalize marijuana, and mushrooms, like psychedelic mushrooms, are natural. They grow out of the ground or on things in nature, and the government says, oh no, you can't use this. It's just mind-blowing that they get to pick and choose, and then get to use stuff in medicine like opioids,
right?
And be like, oh, but if we prescribe you a little bit of this, you can use it.
Well, the way I look at legalizing marijuana and, you know, the different drugs that people want to get legalized is if you want to take them, that's fine. Don't infringe on my
rights.
I mean, you know, if you want to do it in your home, go right ahead. But exactly. As long as it doesn't cost me anything or infringe on my rights to live the life I want to, then why should the government step in and say, you can do this one, but you can't do that one? That's a choice. Here again, that is a right that you have.
To choose, yeah.
To choose.
And it's just, that also takes away like the personal responsibility and stuff like that. Because we should be able to do whatever we want, put whatever we want in our body. The state has no room to decide what we can and cannot do. And like one time we had prohibition, and that was terrible. It worked out terrible. And I mean, having drugs, if we legalize all drugs tomorrow, we're not going to see like maybe a few people here and there, but you're really not going to overall see people just rushing out to go do these drugs because all of a sudden now they're legal.
Right.
The people that were already doing them are still going to be doing them. The people who weren't doing them are not going to be doing them.
Right.
With a few exceptions. Yeah. But it's just, it's crazy to just this stigma that people have when you say, oh, I think all drugs should be legalized. And they're like, well, do you want people on the streets just shooting up heroin right in front of you? Like, you think that's just gonna, like, if we legalize drugs tomorrow, everyone's gonna be shooting heroin on the street. Right. Like, it, you really think that's what's gonna happen? It's just crazy. These people, they have like the wildest ideas of what would happen, and like nothing would change. You're gonna go out tomorrow and it's gonna be the same thing that was going on yesterday.
Well,
you might see more
change,
bakeries, but
right, yeah, right. what was the name? Aunt Mrs. Oh, the movie where she made the brownies with marijuana in it.
I don't know.
Alice Toklas, I think it was.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, she used to make brownies with marijuana in it. People bought them and had fun, you know. But anyway, you know, you talk about prohibition, and you know, times back then were even worse than they are now, because women had no rights. So if a man, excuse me, got, you know, overdrank, got inebriated, and felt like beating his wife up, he could do it. All right. And today, I mean, women have rights for protection in that. But we talked about this before about prohibition, that the reason they ended it was because the criminals were selling it right out in the open. So, I mean, the government said, well, why shouldn't we make money on it? And like we did before, I mean, if they're running their speakeasies, they're selling alcohol, people were making their own alcohol. So they repealed it. And, but it was the same thing. People didn't start drinking crazily because they repealed the prohibition law.
Right. Everyone just kept drinking the same.
Whoever drank kept drinking, and
yeah,
who didn't drink,
it was easier to do once they repealed it.
And then whoever didn't drink didn't like go crazy and start drinking because it was legal now. I mean, I don't know. Like you said, it's a choice.
Yeah, it's definitely a choice. And prohibition doesn't work. And this victim mentality with the addiction is a disease thing is absolutely crazy. Diseases are like, what? Is polio a disease or is that a virus?
No, I think it's a disease, but that's kind of like been eradicated.
Yeah, but still, but
cancer's
that's
a disease. Right, cancer is a disease. I don't know. That cancer is a disease. Dementia is a disease. Alzheimer's.
Yeah, like these are things that you can't change. And
right.
I mean, the victim mentality thing works the same way with subsidizing single mothers. We talked about that. It incentivizes you to just play the victim, and then why should you get help when the government's right there to help you? And why should you start doing better with your life if they're going to take care of you? And they need people to feel this way. They need people to stay in these ruts.
Right.
And
be dependable on the government.
Yeah, be dependable. And it's not beneficial for anybody. It's a net drain on our economy. It's a net drain on society. And it's really sad to see. And it's something that has been bothering me the past few weeks, seeing it just all over the place. Addiction is a disease. My addiction is a disease. Shut up. It's not a disease. Like, I don't want to be mean to these people. I want to tell them that they are more powerful than they're being told they are.
Right.
The amount of strength a human has over their mind is, or the amount of influence you have over your mind is incredible. You can speak something into existence. And that's exactly what this whole addiction is a disease thing is speaking it into existence.
Right.
And I don't know. I'm just very irritated by it.
Well, no, I can understand. I mean, you know, when I was growing up, everyone said, I'm losing my voice here today.
Oh, man.
Everybody said, you can be whatever you want to be, but you have to work hard at it.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing can stop you from doing what you want to do. If you want to become president, then you have to work hard to become president. Today, you got to have mega millions of dollars, but I mean, you know, it's you can do whatever you want to do. And I mean, if you want to start your own business and work hard at it and have a product that people want, you can do it and be successful. And if you don't want to work hard at it and you just want to...
Then you're not going to be successful.
Then you're not going to be successful. But who is it up to? It's up to you.
It's ultimately up to yourself. And I just... I don't even have the words for it, really.
Well, it's very frustrating. I mean, I look at you and I say, you know, you work at a job where you're busy... crazy busy, and then you have a side job where you tutor a young boy,
and then another job,
and then another job. But the thing is, I mean, you don't depend on other people to do things for you, to help you. I give you a lot of credit because you do it. I mean, and the other thing is, you lead by your example, and it's like we're talking about today. You can do things. Not that you want to work as much as you do, but someday you're not going to have to, because mm-hmm. you've
work
got the
now.
Gumption to get somewhere, and you're making your decisions for that in the future. Now, you could only work one job and cry and go to social get on some social programs, and then, like you said, then what happens is you become more dependent on that than you do working.
Right.
So, you know, there are examples that people can look up to strive to do it themselves. And you're one of my examples, because I wish that I could project you to people and show them that, you know, if you work hard, you can really help yourself a lot more than depending on the government to do it, where
right.
you end up becoming dependent on
right.
them to do it for
And then, like,
you.
What happens if they're just obliterated tomorrow? Or what happens if somebody gets an office and this is a pipe dream, but... What happens if someone goes in and cuts out all the welfare?
That's right.
What are you going to do? You need to, everyone needs to have all of their, what's the word for it? Everyone needs to,
all right, start out again.
So everyone has to provide for themselves and do it all themselves, because you shouldn't leave your, like, I can't word this right. You can't give somebody the power to just take everything away from you. And like, I have a hard time having people do things for me, because I want to be responsible for it.
Right.
Like, I want to know that nobody's going to take this away from me. And I wish I could, like, empower some more people that don't feel like they can do better. Because it's just, it's really sad to see people in these cycles, just stuck in
these
cycles.
But I think you do. I mean, you may not realize it, but people around you see what you're like, and I mean, so they have an example of you know, positive influence, and you may be helping people out by that influence, positive influence, more than you think.
Well, I hope so.
And you know, it's just I saw a movie when I was young, and I wish I could remember the name of it, because you would like it. But it was a movie about young people, all right, getting everything from the government, and they what happened was when you reached the age of 35, you were sent to like extermination camps, except for the government, because these people from being a child up to 35 were taken care of by the government and they couldn't do anything. And I mean, it's a crazy premise, but to a point, to that point, extreme point, but boy, I'll tell you, you see people that just take advantage of the system and they just don't want to help themselves.
No.
And that's the sad part.
Yeah, and it's just, there's such a disincentive on working that welfare creates. And because if you make too much money, but it's not, say it's not like enough to be livable, but right. you make too much to the state standards, they're not going to give you money. So they right. want you to make less. So why should you work more so you can get more from them and not have to work for it? It's a motivation problem too. I'm not really sure how you fix that. I wish I had the answer, but just lack of motivation, and I don't know. I feel like we've been taught that we don't have to be responsible for ourselves, and that we're always going to have someone to take care of us if we need help. I feel like I've been taught that through school. Mm-hmm. And yes, public school, because it's an indoctrination center, so sure. they're going to obviously push that. You know about like all the social welfare programs that there are by the time you leave high school.
Oh, sure.
You don't know how to do your taxes, though.
No.
But
but you know how to manipulate the... now I'm looking for a word, the system. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, too, is that I think President Trump has started this in states, and I think New York may be one of them, but if you want to receive benefits from the state, you have to work so many hours a week. Mm-hmm. And then they'll subsidize, you know, you can get insurance, you can get food stamps, but you have to work so many hours a week. And it's not a lot. I mean, it might be 20 hours a week or whatever. And to me, what that would do, if I was in that situation, what that would do for me, being out making friends in the job that I'm working, would say, hey, you know, I can do this. Why don't I work more and make more of my own money? And, right. You know, I mean, because I don't think anybody wants to not do anything, stay home. Well, there's probably a small percentage, but I like being around people. Mm-hmm. And, if, you know, I mean, I think if you can't do it by yourself the whole way, work 20 hours, take the benefits, and then work into a full-time job. At least you have some background, but the safety net should only be there for not the rest of your life.
No. And there's actually, I mean, there's so many charities and stuff out there that you don't even have to take that help. You can, there's just so much, so many resources out there, so many ways to get money now, like with GoFundMe. Mm-hmm. That's just crazy. People are very charitable in America, and I feel like we are told that we're not, mm-hmm. and that we have to have these programs because people won't help out other people, but that's just not the truth. We are the most charitable country, and maybe it's because we're a huge country, but I mean, people aren't heartless.
No, they're not.
And if they see a reason to...
Help other people,
and they really believe in that, they will.
Well, you know, everybody talks about the top 1%, which I don't even believe in stuff like that. But you look at what those people donate to charity or set up foundations to help people with their money or donate to private schools, or, you know, I mean, it's amazing. And people say, well, you know, they don't pay taxes. Well, you know, maybe they get out of paying taxes because they have so much money, but they do things with their money.
Right.
I just don't understand the mentality of a part of our population.
No, and it's just this whole, the victim mentality that I keep talking about is just going to lead us in a terrible direction. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what they're trying to do in schools. And I mean, with this whole politically correct idea thing too, with our speech, that just turns people, it gives them the victim mentality in that way too, that you can't be outraged and say something about it in fear that you're not being correct about
or you're going to have retaliation. Look at this Jussie Smollett case. Mm-hmm. This past week, look at what happened there. Mm-hmm. He was let go for free for nothing, and he had 12 counts of charges against him. Now if you did that, what would happen? If you did something like that, we'd be in jail. I mean, mm-hmm. It's terrible. And it's so bad that not only the police are upset because they're going to protest, they're having a protest when he's released from prison. The governor, who's or the mayor of Chicago, who's a real liberal under Obama, he was in his cabinet, but he's outraged too. I mean, I don't know. It's just a crazy world. We're fed news information that's not correct. And I believe now that all news wants to indoctrinate people.
Oh, definitely. And I just don't know how anyone is still listening to any of the mainstream media, considering everything that's been going on these past 2 years. First of all, the Mueller thing is like the laughing stock of the media.
Yep.
I was listening to Dave Smith's podcast that he did right after the, and he put a combination of news headlines all together, strung together the past 2 years. Breaking news, bombshell news, is there collusion? Blah, we just found out breaking news. Yeah, blah, blah,
he's
blah.
A traitor.
And nothing. And then the Smollett thing, and just, it's all garbage. Garbage.
And that's all they report. They have, if you, the mainstream media, they never talk about anything positive. I mean, the first thing they start out with is President Trump colluded with Russia and should be impeached. That's the first thing every news channel starts out with. Then it's from there, it just goes downhill. And it's the same thing on every channel. Like you said, he different works, and they're saying the same words, right? So you know they've got to be in cahoots with each other. Mm-hmm. It's a joke. See, now here I was growing up. I mean, this was probably going on to some extent. And because when Vietnam was going on, they always showed the worst of the worst, and they blamed it on Nixon. And, you know, you never heard anything about John Kennedy being bad, or because actually Vietnam started in the late 50s. Mm-hmm. But news networks or news people are supposed to report news. Good or bad, report the news. Well, today, they're making the news up.
Yeah, they it's all part of the system. They just want to keep us stupid. Yeah. They need to pit us against each other. We have to pick a side. And the whole racial divide that they're trying to display that really isn't even true.
You take a look, for example, like Ocasio-Cortez.
Oh, did you see her get really upset about the Green New Deal?
No.
She like freaked out that it didn't go through.
Oh, that it didn't go through. Yeah, yeah. I heard about that. And she said it was just a put up job, you know. But then she has hired a fella that was, he's like an attorney, worked for the government under Obama. And he was being interviewed by Tucker Carlson on Fox one night. And so Tucker Carlson says, well, what is it about, she wants to eliminate all cows. And he said, oh, she never said that. He said, she never, that's something that the news made up, that the Republican Party wants to be a talking point. So he said, well, I've got the item that she put out, and that's listed as one of them. And he goes, no, somebody must have put that in there. She doesn't want that. Because now, see, they're trying to take back some of the things she said to make it, because it failed. He said, what about fossil fuels, eliminating fossil fuels in 10 years? And he said, no. She meant like over the next 100 years, we should lose dependency. So he said, well, what about eliminating airplanes? How am I going to get, if I want to go visit overseas, how am I going to get there? You can't build enough railroad tracks. And he said, no, she didn't say that. What she meant was, I mean, everything that she said, he's trying now to, I guess he's like a PR guy. He's trying to change her image a little of not being so crazy. But it's in black and white what she said, so she can't take it back.
No, this is, every day we get closer to an Orwellian society where things can be changed. In 1984, have you read it? I can't remember.
Yeah.
In 1984, they literally go back and change newspapers and take things out of existence and to make everything fit what it should be.
Sure.
Like if something was wrong or if they don't want some people to believe something or they want to add something to history, they go back, change it all, and get rid of any evidence that there was anything different. And it's... we're getting towards that.
Well, look at they in some states they've banned Tom Sawyer.
Yeah.
Because of that one word.
Yeah.
And
it's,
I mean, come on. Well, this fellow that I was talking to you about that was on Mark Levine his show last night, and he was saying that that's what they're doing. They're rewriting history, and we should be upset about that because he said, all right, they're taking down all the statues down south of Confederate people, generals and all that. And he says, but you have to realize that in history, those people, we fought a civil war. And those people were important to one faction of the war. So he said, all the Confederates, Southern people got into power, would they take all of the North, like General Grant statues down and all the important figures of the North down? He said, what they're doing is they're hiding history. And that kind of plays right into that. They're changing history.
Yeah, definitely.
So he said they want kids to grow up, learn history, and not know the truth of what happened. And he said, you know, that was the worst thing they could have done, these states.
Backtracking just a little bit to the Mueller thing.
Also,
did you notice that even though there was nothing that came of it, people are like, well, that they just weren't able to find it. They didn't do a good enough job. It's there. There's something there. They wouldn't even have been investigating it. And it just got covered up really good. Like, no, there's nothing there.
2 years, $17 million, 400 and some people they talked to. They couldn't find it. So
no, they couldn't find anything.
This Adam Schiff now has subpoenaed 81 people because he said there is something there. And we've got to get these people to come back and testify. What they want to try and do is...
they want to try to get him on something.
Or try to get these people's stories to change. Like that.
Yeah.
You may not know what you testified word for word, but they have the paper that in front of them. So if you said one word different,
yeah,
even meaning the same thing, they're going to say, all right, you're lying. What are you lying about?
And it's just also crazy that it just shows that our justice system isn't guilty or isn't innocent until proven guilty. It's guilty until proven innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's crazy that so many people think that way too.
And that's a right we're losing.
Yeah.
Because they're letting it happen.
Right. We're just handing over things left and right. I forgot who I was listening to, but they were... Oh, I was listening to the libertarians drinking liquor or in living rooms or something. It was super funny. But they were talking about that the other day. And it's just, it's going to be so hard to get those rights back if we give them up. And New Zealand, we can't really even look at. I feel like people are looking to New Zealand with the quick legislation that they did as an example, but they didn't have like a constitution, really.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have the right to bear arms. Is a lot different than here.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot different than here. I mean, our forefathers, when they did the Constitution, gave the people the rights. And with the, you know, you went over the Constitution in right. two shows, and they set those up for a reason. And 200 and some years later, they're all still valid. But now, being, like you said, politically correct, they're trying to change that.
Right.
I mean, if they ever thought, if they ever saw what came after 200 years, they'd be rolling over in their graves, because they really gave the power to the people. The government was they were for the people. Now we're for the government. I mean,
right. Did you see that Texas legalized lemonade stands run by children?
No, what'd they do there?
They legalized them that children can have lemonade stands.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, good.
Really good. We shouldn't have to. We shouldn't have to do that. But New York, let's go. Noah's trying to have a lemonade stand this summer.
I remember they made them collect sales tax when New York did that. They treated kids, a few years ago, they treated kids, this was when Cuomo was in the first 4 years. Okay, these kids having lemonade. It's can't think of the name of the fall, and they were charged. They came in and said the police shut them down, and then Cuomo came out and said they have to pay sales tax. I mean, their parents were making the lemonade; they were selling the lemonade for like 15 cents or 25 cents. The state came in and shut them down and said you have to pay sales tax on every lemonade you sell. Well, Jim Tedisco, the assemblyman, now he's a senator for the state, really fought hard, and he had Cuomo backtrack that law, that now you can have lemonade stands without collecting sales tax. It's just like in Saratoga, people that park car in their lawns for the racing season, mm-hmm. they have to pay sales tax on that money.
That's crazy.
Cuomo sends people from the sales tax department every day, and they count how many cars are on lawns, and then at the end of the season,
what a waste of a job
it is. And then at the end, and there's more than one people that come up to Saratoga, and at the end of the season, if these people don't pay the sales tax, the right sales tax on the number of cars that they had, they get penalized, paying the tax plus a penalty.
Yeah, I'm going to have Noah do a lemonade stand this summer and see if we get shut down. Maybe get some publicity.
Well, you're busy up in your way in the summer. He could make a fortune.
Yeah, he wants to get a phone, and I won't pay for a phone for him because he doesn't need one. He's almost 8. He doesn't need a phone.
Right.
But I told him if he could find a way to come up with $40 a month, he could have a phone.
That's right.
And so he's set on having a lemonade stand, and so I'll let him have a lemonade stand. I'll see if we get shut down or not. We also this week hit 1,000 followers on the page.
Really?
1,000 likes and followers, so that's exciting. And we are a year old now.
Yay.
Yes. And we have to go out to lunch sometime.
Yes.
Yes, we got to figure that
out. We'll do that.
I'm kind of exhausted on ideas.
Well, I just want to say one thing. Sure. When Terry's on again, it'll be a Tyler, it'll be a good day. He's going to be on April 13th, and that's 2 days before income taxes are due.
Oh, yeah.
So we could have a little discussion on having to pay income tax on the money that we earn.
Yep.
When the government takes out money, and you still have to pay taxes after that.
Right. Yeah.
So that'll be a good topic on because I know you've talked about that too. So it'll be interesting to find out what he thinks about that. And
they don't have a state income tax in Tennessee.
No, I know.
Yeah.
But they have to pay federal.
Yeah, they still have to pay federal.
There's about how many states did he say? There's about a dozen states that don't have a state tax.
I know New Hampshire, I think, is
Florida doesn't.
Florida, Tennessee, I can't remember.
I think somebody told me there's like, there's a pretty good amount that don't have a state sales tax.
Income tax.
Income tax. Because he said, right, but he said their sales tax is a couple cents more, which is okay.
I'm okay with sales taxes because that's a choice that you're making to buy. You're agreeing to pay that tax.
Well, I believe in a flat tax for the country. I mean, Steve Forbes, when he ran for president back in the 80s,
a flat tax,
where if you go to buy a canoe,
for
your, you want to fish and you want to buy a canoe, let's say it costs $700. Well, you're paying, let's say it's 17%. You're paying 17% on that canoe. If Bill Gates goes out and buys a yacht and it's $1.5 million, then he pays that 17% on $1.5 million. And there's no loopholes. I mean, he can't say, well, I'm using it for business. It's a purchase. So, but like you said, that's your decision. What you want to buy, that's what you're going to pay. But so is everybody. And he proved that you would make more money by doing that, that we would be able to fill out our income tax on a postcard and we wouldn't owe the government anything at the end of the year. So to me, that makes a lot of sense, you know?
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense. So we'll have Tyler on the 13th. That'll be exciting. He's going to the Libertarian Party Convention of Tennessee this weekend, so he'll have some good things to talk about. And, I think that's all that I have for today. Okay, so, until next time.
Have a good week. You have a good week, Shannon.